Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 23. I want to set the table before we read the scripture. As we begin the new year, I want to talk about spiritual alignment. So over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be talking about spiritual alignment. Today, we're going to be focusing on aligning our faith. Aligning our faith. We're going to interrupt when we get into Mark chapter 9, verse 14. It interrupts a story that Mark, the gospel writer, the writer of this gospel, is telling about an event that happened in the life of Jesus and three of his disciples. And he had left the other nine, at the foot of the mountain to take care of business. So in Mark chapter 9, he talks about what is known as the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. What that means is that there was a moment where Jesus took three of his disciples, went on top of a mountain, and while he was there, they saw him change. That his glory shone brightly. It said that it was as bright as lightning, and what they saw was a glimpse of who he was before he was wrapped in humanity and left his place in glory and came to dwell among men. For the word of God says that God is light. He dwells in unapproachable light. Often when it talks about that no one has seen him and never will, what it's dealing with is the fact that God is so radiant that you can't look upon him in your state. Just like you and I can't stand to look at the sun, you cannot handle the glory of God. And so they got a chance to see Jesus as that moment he was on the mountain praying, his glory shone brightly through. It became, as recorded by the Gospels, this thing they call the transfiguration of Christ. He was there on the mountain and he had a conversation with Moses and Elijah. And he only had Peter, James, and John with him. And they witnessed what was taking place. And after Jesus had revealed himself in that way on the mountain, he said, now is time to go back down. And so when we begin with reading in verse number 14, of Mark chapter 9, we're seeing Jesus coming down the mountain with his three disciples, Peter, James, and John, and they are going to be confronted by a group of people. Amen? So that's the backdrop for this set of verses that we are going to read when we start talking about aligning our faith. Aligning our faith. Let's stand together, if you would help me as become our practice, to read through these verses. Beginning with verse number 14. If you can't stand, that's all right. Hang on to the issue. God sees you. Don't hurt yourself. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, Mark chapter 9, beginning with verse number 14. Let's read. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit and has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground, foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. You unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. And when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? Childhood, he asked. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. Amen. Father, we just thank you today for your word that has been recorded on our behalf. Thank you, Father, for the truths that have been captured so that, God, you can grow us, mature us, and draw us closer to you to experience, God, the life that you called us to experience. We pray, Father, now, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of your Spirit, that you will give us ears that hear what your Spirit has to say. Open up our eyes to see, Father, fresh new truths from this text. But most importantly, God, move us to the place where you reveal us in it. Help us to know that you are the one who can draw us close to you and help us in our unbelief. We thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. You and I have gone through full, complete year. We've experienced some challenges. We've experienced some difficulties. Living life in and of itself produces that. There are bumps, there are knocks, there are setbacks, things that simply challenge us. Because Jesus said, in this life, or in this world, you will have trouble. And because Jesus is honest and truthful and he never lies, we are discovering that what he said is coming to pass.
Amen.
We know it to be true even more so because he says, as the days approach, as we get closer and closer to the return of Christ, we know that the intensity of the attack upon this world and upon believers will increase. While others will have you think that things are going to get better, the truth of the matter is, Jesus has already declared they're going to get worse. But that's not for you and I to be afraid. For he says that he is who? Emmanuel. God with us. So even in the midst of things getting bad, you still have the one who is in control of everything with you. It was Jesus who declared in his word, as he was preparing to return to heaven, he said to his disciples, lo, am I with you always, even until the end of the age. In other words, Jesus said, I'm with you, and I'm not going to abandon you. So while it may get tough, while persecution may come your way, while you may be harassed by the enemy of your soul, don't you worry, he says, because I am with you. 2024 reminded us on occasion that, yep, it's true. Challenges, and difficulties come. Sometimes it comes by interfering with relationships. You thought everything was going good. And lo and behold, there's a hiccup in the room.
Yeah.
Wow. Sometimes it messes with your finances.
Amen.
Amen. You were tracking along good. On target to hit your savings goal. All your bills are met. And then that stinky old appliance breaks down. And its repair was not in my emergency fund. Now all of a sudden, when I thought I was on track, there was a hiccup. There's a bump. The kind of stuff that makes you start saying, I pay my tithes. I get up and pray and read my Bible. I forgive those who are abusive to me. You know all those things that we start doing when we think we've been walking according to the way God wants us to walk, and then something comes and affects us that we were not expecting. We start going back through the list thinking that, oh, when we do these things, they are intended to insulate us from whatever may come. And so we start going through the list. I did this, I did that. That's a hiccup. That's a bump. That's a setback. I'm eating right. Getting enough rest. I need an exercise. And lo and behold, that little stinging germ, that bacteria still slips into my body. Causes me to be down for more days than I want to be down. Makes me go spend money that I wasn't planning on spending to see a doctor who's practicing. Just so I can get some stuff to deal with my symptoms. Right? You know that's all them drugs do, right? They just deal with your symptoms, right? But sometimes those symptoms are so bad, you be like, I need some help. And so God, thank you for drugs that will help me deal with my symptoms until healing comes. Amen? But when that sickness hits, right? It's a hiccup. It's a bump. Because you start saying, by his stripes. And then you pause for a moment. I'm healed. You like, but I feel all this stuff in my body. How can I say I am healed? And you're reminded, oh, I got to declare it because it is by the word of the testimony, of my testimony, and by the blood of Jesus Christ that I overcome this attack in my body. So I got to speak the truth.
Yes.
That by his stripes, I am healed.
Yes.
But it's a setback. And when these setbacks show up in your life, it requires, it pushes you in a sense out of alignment. Rolling along good, but now there's a little wobble in your walk. A little wobble in your step. A little stutter in your speech, because you and I need to be realigned. We need to be realigned. For those of you who are automobile owners, you understand this, that every now and then you need to go and have the alignment check on your vehicle. Amen?
Amen.
In fact, it is recommended that every 6,000 miles or so, they say you get your tires balanced and your alignment check. And living in the place that we live in, you might need to do that every 3,000 miles, because our streets are filled with cracks and potholes, even though we see orange barrels everywhere. So we have to go frequently to make sure that our vehicles then are aligned properly.
Yes.
In fact, I was reading a little bit about alignments because all I know is to go and say, hey, check my alignment and make sure that everything is right. And I don't know if they're telling me the truth or not. Amen? But there are some symptoms that I can recognize that make me say that, wait, this ain't right. Because you know, when your vehicle is not aligned properly, you can take your hand off of the steering wheel and it might pull to the right or it might pull to the left. When it's aligned properly, you should be able to take your hand off the steering wheel and let that lady just float for a little while. And you don't want to keep your hands off there. Don't keep it off too long. Don't keep it off too long. But that's just one of the indicators that you might be in need of an alignment. Amen? And what you also know is that if you don't align it properly, you can start noticing that your tires are wearing unevenly. And as much as rubber costs these days, you don't want anything that's going to rust along the wear on those tires and cost. You'd have to go and replace it.
Amen.
And so then to avoid that, so that you get the expected life out of that tire, it becomes your responsibility to make sure that that vehicle is aligned properly. The only vehicle that does not need periodic alignment is the one that's not being driven. Amen. If it's not being driven, you don't have to worry about it hitting any bumps. You ain't got to worry about it doing wearing out the top. You ain't got to worry about that. But if it's being driven, and especially on these streets, on these roads, and like some drivers who bump up against curbs when they...
All right,
if it is being used, it is also going to need periodic alignment. Amen? Likewise with you and me. The only believer who does not need periodic spiritual alignment, who does not need alignment in his or her faith, is the one who ain't using it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If they're not exercising their faith, if they're not utilizing their faith, if their faith is sitting in the garage of their lives, you ain't got to worry about no line. Because the truth of the matter is, the enemy ain't worried about that type of believer. That type of believer is not a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Because that type of believer is not putting into practice the truth of God's word. And so when the enemy sees you coming, he thinks you are a friend. Here comes one who is working on our side, on our behalf. Trojan horse. He's going to send you in. Because you refuse to utilize your faith. But for those of us who are trying to live a life that is pleasing to God, who are trying to walk in God's favor and carry out his plan for us, we are going to need alignment. Amen? So since this is the beginning of the year, it makes sense that we spend some time talking about aligning ourselves spiritually in some different areas. And today, I just want to focus on faith. I've already used up half my time. So fortunately, Sister Manita, I'm going to give a text. I gave a text to the first half of the message that she preached. And now I'm going to go ahead and close it out. Amen. She'll go ahead and edit that out. Let's talk about, first of all, what faith is. You know this, but by way of remembrance, rehearsing, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. That's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, depending upon which version of the Bible that you're reading, it will read differently, but it comes back to the same truth. Faith is the certainty of what we hope for. It's the confidence in believing that what we are hoping for will come to pass. In Hebrews chapter 11, it gives you this great hall of faith where it goes through and it identifies men and women that the Bible captures and illustrates for us who have walked in faith. I want to encourage you to take a moment and go back and refresh yourself by reading through that list, because it is an amazingly dynamic list of folk who walk by faith. Folks who had confidence in what they were hoping for. They had assurance about what they had not yet seen. That's what faith is. In fact, Hebrews 11 and 6 reminds us of how important this is. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So faith then becomes this necessity. The writer Andrew Murray, who was a preacher, prophet, and also a writer, says this. He says that scripture teaches us that there is not one truth on which Christ insisted more frequently than the absolute necessity of faith and its unlimited possibilities. He says that when you read the Bible, that what you will see is that Jesus insisted regularly that you and I must have faith. That you cannot get anything from the kingdom of God, from the economy of God, without faith. Faith becomes the currency by which you exchange between heaven and earth. You've got to have faith in order to receive what God wants to give you. Love, many of you know it has become one of my favorite definitions. Romans chapter 4, verse number 21, that defines what faith looks like. He said, faith is being fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he has promised he will do. Paul uses with that definition the example and the illustration of Abraham, the father of faith. He said, Abraham, without wavering in his faith, believed that God was able to do what God had promised he would do. Remember what God said to Abraham? He found Abraham when he was 75. He said, you're going to be the father of many nations. Abraham went along. Had to wait 25 years for this promise of God to come to pass. And it says that he did not waver, but he believed that God had the power to take his weak old body and to take Sarah's weak old body and to cause them then to fulfill the promise that God had made. He was fully persuaded that God could do, he had the power to do what he had promised he would do. In fact, you and I do not need to complicate what faith is. Amen? Everybody wants to get deep. Like the deeper you get, the better. No. Keep it simple. Faith is believing God and acting upon it. It is exactly what is demonstrated in the life of Abraham. Abraham heard what God said. He believed God. He acted upon it. And as a result of that, he received from God what God had promised. However, you and I know that it's easy for us to fall short of having absolute trust in God. It's easy for us to literally believe that God is going to do what he promised. Especially when time goes by and there is no change in my situation or my circumstances. Especially when time goes by and it seems like nature is working against me. Especially when time goes by and I'm like, how God gonna do something with this? It's easy for us to forget that with God, all things are possible. Amen. And when you and I talk about an alignment or aligning our faith, it is getting back to the place of where we acknowledge that with God, all things are possible. Amen? That was one of the powerful takeaways from the Christmas experience that you and I just went through again. It was remembering that when the angel came to Mary and said to Mary, you have been chosen by God, and the Spirit of God is going to come upon you, and the power of God is going to overshadow you, so that the child that is to be born to you will be called the Son of God. And when Mary says to him, how can this be? I have never, ever been with a man. He explains what is to take place, and she says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be done to me just as you have said. And the angel has spent some time helping her know that what God has said can be done. In fact, he said, you're old. Wait a minute, he didn't say old. I added that part. Your relative Elizabeth, and he may have said who is up in age. Amen. God's going to be praying for you. Thank you. But your relative Elizabeth is already in her sixth month. And listen to what he says. She who was said to have been barren, meaning that she couldn't have children, they had tried, but it had not happened. She who was said to have been barren is now 6 months. She's 3 months from delivery. Amen? He says to her, for with God, nothing is impossible. When you and I are realigning our faith, where we are remembering that we don't walk by what we see. We live by what we hear. Amen? That we can't allow what we see to dissuade us from believing that God is still able to move mountains. Yes. Amen. Amen. So we get back to the place where we're saying, God, help my unbelief. I believe that you are more than able to do exactly what you said. And now will you help me to live like I believe? Will you help me to act like I believe it? Will you help me to have the type of countenance that demonstrates to others that I believe, God, what you have said? Faith. The thing that is absolutely necessary for the believer who is to live a life abiding in Christ. You must have faith. Because only then can you ask for what it is that you need. Can you ask for what it is that you want and be assured that you will receive. Amen? It is by faith. It is by faith. This story that we read that catches this father catches Jesus coming down this mountain and begins to say to Jesus, my son has this condition. I brought him to you, to your disciples, so that my son could get well, but your disciples were not able to do anything with it. This story has multiple lessons inside of it, and I want to encourage you to go back and review it and refresh yourselves, because it gives you a picture of while Jesus was on the mountain, he left 9 other disciples to take care of his business. One way of saying it is he left 9 other disciples to be his hands and his feet, to do his work, to do his bidding. And when a man who is experiencing this condition with his child brings him to the disciple, brings his child to the disciples, the ones that Jesus had left to take care of his business, to be his hands and feet, couldn't do anything with the situation. That real quickly becomes a picture of who? The ascended Christ, who is now in heaven, who has what? Left the church to be his hands and feet. Oh, wait, let me remind you, the church ain't the building at 14017 East 11th Street. That's not the church. Oh, take a minute. Check yourself over. Go ahead and look at your hands. Look at your feet and say, oh, that's me. Amen. He left us to take care of his business. Amen. Faith says that he left me, not somebody else. Amen. So you and I can't be saying, let me go get so-and-so, so-and-so. No. He called you. His spirit fills you. His word is resident in you. He said, you need to put your faith to work because you now are representing who? Him.
Yes.
And so this story gives us a glimpse of what happens when people don't accept the responsibility that Jesus gives them. Amen. And it means that when they're not walking in that, there is a need for realignment. Because it happens in the verses that we didn't read. Because the disciples, after Jesus has dealt with the issue, the disciples get in the private and they say to him, why could we not cast out this spirit? Why can we take care of the boy? That's exactly what he said. It is because of your faith. The faith was too little. Some verses it will say, Jesus said, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. And so he says, your faith is too little, and your faith is too little because you wasn't praying while I was up on the mountain. Little prayer equals little faith and little power. Amen? That if you and I are going to walk in great faith, we must also make sure that we are engaged in sincere prayer.
Yes.
Regular communication and dialogue with the one who empowers us. Yes. Amen. Yes. And so Jesus is revealing, he's giving us some things that are being unfolded, unpacked in this exchange between the man and his son, between his disciples in this generation, and all of it, Jesus is saying to you and to me, make sure that your faith is properly alive. Amen? The first thing we just mentioned, we need to make sure that we get these in order. In order for your faith to be properly alive, what is it that has to happen? Talking about your prayer life. Amen? And so if you and I are going to make sure that as we move through 2025, we're moving through 2025 in faith, we need to first make sure that our prayer life is in order. Amen? That means that you and I need to make sure that we are reserving time to spend with the Father, just as Jesus modeled for his disciples. It's the same thing that we've got to do. Remember back in Mark 1:35, this example of Christ starts to show up. Early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus would often go away to a solitary place to pray. It was Jesus' habit that he spent time alone with the Father praying and talking to him. Well, if it was necessary for the Son of God, who was full of power, to do that, how much more necessary and important does it become for you and me? In fact, he was modeling how you and I become overcomers in this life. It requires that we stay connected to the vine. It requires that we stay plugged in. One way we do that, one of the most important ways we do that, is through prayer. Private time set aside where you can talk to God, hear from God, and receive from him. The second place that you get the alignment of your faith is through the word. For faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing then by the word of God. This becomes important because the statement that Jesus makes is everything is possible for the one who believes. Amen. Go all the way to, I think it was verse number 21. I think that's what it was. 23 or 21. Find it. You good like that. Everything is possible for the one who believes. Verse number 23. He's responding to the man who has said, take pity on us and help us. He said, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus says, if you can, you don't know who you're talking to. And then he says, everything is possible to him who believes. And so the question becomes, believes what? Isn't that fair? Everything is possible for him who believes? What am I believing? So first of all, your faith has to be in the right place. I'm talking about having a faith in God. When I go back to the definitions, particularly the one in Romans chapter 4, where I said, being fully persuaded that God is able to do, has the power to do what he has promised he will do, I'm saying that you are basing your belief, your faith on God and God alone. When you and I are out of alignment, we will have a tendency to lean on the systems of this world. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's a truth that we have to admit. When you and I get tired of waiting on God, we try to take matters in our own hands and we'll start using systems that we think other folk have had success with, and we'll say, maybe that'll work for me. And God hadn't told you to do that, but you are looking with your own eyes, saying that I'm running out of time. I need help now. So you go and try to do something else. No. Your faith must be in God and in God alone. That's another reason why prayer becomes so important, because it is only in prayer that you get a chance to hear what God is saying to you. That's why us gathering together becomes so important, because sometimes, I know you're not going to believe this, sometimes God will give a word to you for somebody else. Amen. Because he has said it is important, as the body of Christ, we learn how to trust the gifts that he has placed in each one of us. And so sometimes he'll speak through somebody else to get to
worship with other folk. I ain't getting my worship all by myself. Me and God got it like facts. Have you lost your mind? When you start thinking like that, yes, you have lost your mind. God is not intended for us to be independent unless he has put us in solitary confinement. If he has us in a place where we're all by ourselves and we can't get there, then he says, okay, I'm going to meet you where you are. But he has never said for you and me to be independent of one another because we have him. No, you didn't even see Jesus acting like that. You trying to say you're being conformed to the image of the Son of God? When you read the Gospels, what you discover is that Jesus had the practice of going into the synagogue regularly. You will see that Jesus had the practice of hanging out with people on a regular basis. It was never this idea of, I don't need anybody else. In fact, if you stay isolated, you won't even be able to use the gift that God has given you. That's just downright selfish. That's another message. But he has said it for us, right? That we must come together so that we can hear from him and trust that the word that he may have given to another is for you. Oh, my goodness. When I talk about us being overflowing with the Spirit, listen, I'm praying in 2025 that all the fear that we have about spiritual stuff will fall off. Oh, y'all. See, I'm looking for the gifts of the Spirit to be at work in the body of believers right here.
Amen.
Which means that there's got to be a fear that falls off.
Yes.
Amen. I'm looking for us to be the kind of folk that when we hear God say something, we have the kind of boldness to go and say to a brother or sister, while I was in prayer. And I hope that's the way you started. Don't be telling me why you were sipping on some whatever. Yeah, that too. While I was in prayer, while I was in the Word of God, this is what I heard God speaking. This is what came to me. Well, that's what I want now. I don't want your ideas while you were watching that infomercial you thought about me. What? Now God can use anything. He can use anything. But I'm saying his regular means for believers is that as you are praying and worshiping, God has a way of speaking to you. But it is my hope and my desire that we begin to walk in faith by believing that God really is speaking, that we can hear him. What does the word say? My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. That we really believe that we are hearing from God and that we are not walking in fear, but in faith. And when God gives us a word for another sister or a brother, we have the boldness to speak that in love, to have the boldness to speak that in truth, and then have the audacity to pray that whatever God has revealed to us will come to pass in that individual's life. Whatever it might be, that God will begin to use us with that level of both, and that requires faith.
Yes.
That requires faith. And so I'm spending time in prayer, but I'm also spending time in the Word. I'm spending time in worship, and I'm spending time in the Word. For he says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so you and I need to make sure that we have a regular diet of the Word of God. And can I challenge you? We're not just reading to say that I've covered my allotment for the day. I tried to, I'm a confession. Y'all got a few minutes for a confession? I need to get this out. I tried to read through the Bible last year. I had one of those plans. It was a good plan. I tried. I was walking through the plan. I would highlight, you know, after I had finished. And the way the plan was set up, there was an Old Testament reading, there was a New Testament reading, and then it had me going through the Psalms, and it would go through the Proverbs, like all the way through from January 1 through December. I tried, y'all, I tried. If I were to show you my book, what you will see is that I have like one page that's highlighted, and it's like everything is covered. You'd be like, Pastor was getting it all. And I'd be like, don't turn the page. You know how it is, you have one of those drawers in your house where you just put junk in? Right. Okay, I have a drawer in my house that we put junk in, right? And I'd be like, don't open that drawer. Everything else might look like it's in order. Don't open that drawer. If you turn the page, I got the first page just like highlighted. Brother was on it. I was taking pictures of that page and sending it to people. You need to join me in my plan. You need to join me in my plan. You still got time. Well, you turn the page and it looks like a rainbow. This part is highlighted. This part is blank. Over on this page, I got something highlighted. I got something. I tried. It was hard trying to chase down and read. Man, that's when you're trying to read 66 books. In a year?
Yeah.
Woo! My goodness. I couldn't get them all. I couldn't get them all. Because I was interested in more than just information gathering, right? I wasn't just trying to read to say, oh, I've read this section highlighted. When I sit down with the Lord and open up the Word of God, I'm wanting to hear. I'm wanting to interact and engage and dialogue. You know I like to ask questions. I'll be asking questions like that of the Lord. And what I discovered is I'm so busy asking questions that, I've run out of time. There's other stuff that I've got to go do. And so I didn't make it as far as the lesson plan said I should have. But I got what the Spirit of God wanted to give. Because I was spending time in His Word. And all I'm saying is you and I need to make sure that we have a plan, dedicated time, to spend in His Word, not just trying to consume voluminous amounts of information, but to have an interaction and an encounter with the living God so that He is feeding your soul with His Word. That's important because your faith, remember, what you believe is going to be the difference maker. First, your belief is in God. But then secondly, it is in what He has said. You can't know what He has said unless you have read what He has written. Amen? And so that's why it becomes important for you and me to be engaged in His Word so that we can know what to base our faith on. So that we know what it is that we're talking about. We're fully persuaded that God has the power to do. What has God said that I'm trying to say I believe? Then it's there in His Word that we can put down an anchor, that we can say, on this I stand, because God has declared it to be.
And I will not back up from that position until God says, you can move now. But until then, he says that you are to build your life, you are to build your trust upon his word. And when you believe in what God has declared, he says that all things now become possible for the one who believes what he has declared, who believes what he has promised. And your faith then is able to stand the storm. It is able to stand in the midst of the wind. Why? Because God's word is stable. God's word is firm. God's word is alive. And God's word is full of power. And when I place my hope and my trust on him and his word, he says he watches over it to perform it. God says in his word that he never ever sends it without fulfilling what he has said he will do. And our faith, when it is anchored in the one who gives it, our faith, when it is based upon what he has said, will not be shaken. It will stand in the time of crisis. And so, let's realign our faith. Let's get it adjusted. Let's get it adjusted. Amen? Let's evaluate. What does my prayer life look like? Let's be honest. Remember, you're before God who sees you and knows you. Right? You can't trick him. I'm talking about, what does my prayer life look like, God? God, I need you to help me. Am I praying in a way consistent, Lord, with what you want to do in my life? God, what does my study time with you look like? What does my study in your word look like? Am I hiding your word in my heart? Or is it going in one ear and out the other? See, he says, and I have hidden your word. The psalmist says, I have hidden your word in my heart so that I will not what? Sin against you. I need God's word to keep me from sinning, but I need God's word to also keep me walking according to his will. So you got to ask God, how am I treating your word? Am I feeding on it? Am I eating up on it? Am I sharing it with others? Then God, where am I at believing that what you have promised will come to pass? We got to realign our faith. Amen? There are some of us who right now have some health challenges. Amen? We have some health challenges. And to the realignment of your faith gets you to the place of saying that even with my health challenges, God is able. His grace is not only sufficient to keep me, but it is sufficient to deliver me. It is sufficient to heal me. It is sufficient to restore me. And faith, when you realize your faith, you are no longer wavering based upon your symptoms or what your body is feeling like. What you're doing is pressing into each day that God has given you. If you still got a little pain, can I help you? Say thank you, Jesus. Say thank you that I can feel it, and thank you that your grace is sufficient to keep me. And while I wait, I'm going to praise you. Amen. While I wait, I'm going to bless your name. While I wait, because I know you're going to come through. While I wait, I'm going to glorify you in everything that I do and say. It is the realigning of our faith, because now we are standing on the word of God and we are speaking God's word into every situation. Amen? Listen, if the finances are a little funny, realign your faith. He is who? Jehovah who? Jireh. The Lord God, my provider. Amen. That means that you
don't have a need that God does not know about, but even more so, that he can't supply.
Yes.
And when you go and check the cupboard and you still don't see what you want, what do? Praise God. You give him thanks that he still sees you and that he has still provided you with something. And you, while you wait, you keep worshiping and standing on his word.
Yes.
And you keep waiting for deliverance. Amen? You make up your mind that God, I'm going to let you and you alone bless me. I'm going to let you and you alone come through. For I believe that you have the power to do everything, God, that you have said you would do. And let me warn you that God does not always operate the way that we conceived it in our minds.
Amen.
Amen? And so when you keep your mind fixed on him, praising and worshiping him, you give him the freedom to do what he wants to do. You're not putting him in a box trying to say, you've got to do it this way, because God has already said, no, I ain't going to do it that way.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you're too busy over here looking for God to do it this way, you're going to miss what he got for you. And so while you and I are waiting on these things, let's realign our faith. To say, God, I believe that you are still able to do the impossible. God, I still believe that there is no thing that is too hard for you. God, I still declare that you are the creator and the maker of the heavens and the earth. That God, you are the one who called peace out of chaos. You're the one who brought order out of chaos. And that God, your power has not diminished. That you are the same today that you were on yesterday and that you will be on tomorrow.
Yeah.
That you are the great God, the great Ancient of Days, who sits high and who looks low.
Yeah.
And that God, when you speak, what you have spoken to must obey you.
Yeah.
That God, I believe and I'm standing, God, upon your word to say that, God, every promise that you've established in my life will come to pass. I'm thankful, God, that you know the plans that you have for me. And I'm thankful, God, that you will cause all things to work together, Lord God, for my good. Therefore, God, I stand in faith, believing that, God, everything that you have said will be done and what you started in my life will be completed. I trust you, God. You and you alone. I do not trust in idols. I do not trust in silver. I do not trust in gold. I trust you, God.
Yes.
While you and I wait and praise and worship, what you will see is that God is faithful and that he will come through. Amen.
Amen.
As we begin our spiritual alignment, we're starting with our faith. Starting with our faith, which means we're talking about prayer, talking about his word. So as we move into this next week, first assignment that you get associated with prayer. Jesus said to his disciples, this kind only comes out by prayer. And what was the other part? And fasting. Amen. So this week, select a day in which you will fast and pray. Just one day. And you can say from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., this is my period of fasting. Amen. Choose a day. Now, when you and I are fasting, go without food. Okay? Now, for those of you who are taking medications that you have, medications that you need to take with food, eat just enough for the med. Just enough for the med. Don't get you one of those full-blown five-course meals. I gotta take medicine. It's just enough so that you can take your meds, but then you're into fasting. And our fast day is not just a day of going without food. It is a day that you and I are spending in worship and prayer unto the Lord. So that's the day where you are going to his word and you are praying. You're going to his word and you are praying. Every time your stomach growls and you're ready to reach for whatever snack it is that appeases your hunger, you're reaching for the word. Reaching for the word. Reaching. Then after you have received from the word, you're beginning to pray and call out to God. And here's what we're asking. God, help my unbelief and realign my faith. Help my unbelief and realign my faith. That means that if there's any area in your life where you stop believing God to come through, he's going to reveal it to you. He's going to show you. And as he reveals it to you, you're going to begin to say, God, help my unbelief. And what God will do then is he'll start to give you the word of which to stand on so that your confidence can be renewed in that particular area. So help my unbelief and realign my faith.